With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening. Final hour of the show. You can always tweet us if you'd like, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for me.
Let's go last five on Instagram, where I am available for you for pictures of things that don't matter at all. Grant H. Paulson on Instagram as well.
Humorous Danny for me.
Last five on Instagram. I've got, there's a video from yesterday. Forgot about this little gem. This is a behind-the-scenes video of a shoot I was doing for a special project with NBC Sports Washington with Brian Mitchell and Billy Donaldson and Michael Jenkins and Al Koken and company. So you can check that out. Travis Thomas, the whole crew is there at Grant H. Paulson.
Selfie from my hospital bed, having checked in the emergency room for a broken rib, hole in my lung.
That's your last post?
Intercostal muscle. No, that's not, I was going 5-1.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So that's number five.
I'm going number two on my most recent Instagram posts. Instagram?
Yeah, posts.
What are we saying? Posts?
I think you could do either.
Pictures. I've got a flat tire. This was on my way into the studio yesterday. My tire popped. No one has more tires popped than me. Please fix potholes immediately. And thank you. Just a flat tire. I said, the caption reads, on my way in for the Bruce Allen anniversary show, karma is real, people.
Picture of me and my weird big nose, fat face over top Chris Russell, who was mid haircut. So he'd had his I guess you'd call it the lower bowl of the stadium that was excavated out, that was carved away before we started doing some funky designs.
That's a good one. Third is a cake that we had made and ate yesterday for the 10-year anniversary show of Bruce Allen. So it's a picture of the delicious cake with a little Redskins helmet on the top that says, Happy 10-Year Bruce.
In-depth series, number three for me, of the actual Chris Russell haircut experience. After everyone else kind of went around in that horseshoe in the bowl, I went the Indianapolis Colts from ear to ear, if you can picture that kind of a horseshoe. There's a funny picture of CK in the background laughing nervously, and a couple others in that series as well that just don't look very good at all for Russell.
Picture number four, I've got maybe the most delicious steaks I've ever had in my life. So in the front and center of the picture is the actual meal I ordered at Bourbon Steak DC in Georgetown Saturday night. It's a place I go to about once a year, very special occasions with my wife. I got a rib cap. Are you familiar with the rib cap?
Oh, yes.
This was a 12-ounce rib cap. It was arguably the best cut of meat anyone's ever eaten, except that on that same night, while that was probably the best full steak I've had, I had the best meat I've ever tasted in my life sent to the table from the good people at Bourbon Steak. I think it was like A5 Wagyu or something.
Yep, I ordered that as my steak last time I went.
Well, you are a ritzier man than I. I don't know that I've got that in the I don't know that I got the bank account for that steak, but
like
I'll tell you.
Going every week to do that, but yeah. Yes, I made it a special occasion.
They sent that over to the table, and it was, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Dude, eating that steak, I didn't know meat could melt in your mouth the way that steak
just
did.
Amazing.
It was great.
Just amazing.
So there you go.
Picture,
and lastly, by the way, Anthony Rendon holding the World Series trophy.
So then I've got a picture of eight couples for our little holiday party, and then a picture of Anthony Rendon in an Angels jersey is my most recent picture.
So we both did the Rendon is leaving picture.
It was on TV here in the studio, and I took a picture of it and said, this is weird. This just looks weird. I'm not mad at anybody. Just looks weird.
A little sampling of what you'll get if you follow us on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson and at Humorous Danny. Mm-hmm. People are going to be standing in line who are grown adults to see Star Wars tomorrow night. To buy tickets, they'll be standing in long lines. They might even be wearing capes, something along those lines. Are you going tomorrow night, Danny?
I am. I'm going to a late showing.
How late?
I think it starts at 11.
Will you have to stand in any lines?
I think there'll be like a normal movie-going line.
But you don't have to get tickets. You don't have to wait for any reason.
No, it's not going to be a midnight showing tonight or something like that.
The assigned seating,
doing.
Right? So you don't have to go early to get a seat.
Right. So I'm sure there'll be some delay. It's like, you know, we'll be going in this theater. It'll be packed. It'll be crowded. But we do have the assigned seats for it.
So where do the lines come in? When you said a lot of people are going to be waiting in lines, and we kind of talked about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Where do the lines come in? Are people going to be in line to try to get tickets?
So the tickets have been available for a while. So presumably, if you wanted to be there on opening night, you bought them previously. Depends on your movie theater. For example, something like the Uptown on Connecticut Avenue, which is a little bit more old school. It's that giant stadium-sized theater. It's just classic, you know, just a big, gorgeous place with a balcony and everything else. It's not assigned seats. So you're waiting in line to, you know, get your great spot or whatever. You're camping out. Maybe it's to get tickets in some instances. But for the most part, everybody's got their stuff in advance.
So I guess the question would be what then? What would bring you out of your house as a grown adult to wait in line at this point of your life?
Because I'm not that far removed from this video game, whether it's a new Madden drops at midnight, I'm in line at Best Buy. Or Black Friday specials kick off at 6 in the morning. I'll be there, you know, as soon as the turkey digests, camping out to get some of these things.
I don't think my mom's ever done that, but I've certainly heard of family, friends, or people doing that where we'll be at a Thanksgiving and someone will say they're waking up at 5 a.m. In fact, I remember one time when my mom and someone else like left on that Thursday night after Thanksgiving because mm-hmm. one of the stores was doing like a Thursday night Black Friday sale to get a jump on everybody else. So I've never really thought for one second about doing that, but I know there are people who do. They'll go and they'll stand outside of Target for 6 hours, and when it opens, try to rush into the store to get their hands on whatever the TV is they want or what have you.
Because this is, I think, a way to kind of quantify my adulthood. When the first Lord of the Rings movie came out, I was in line for hours. When The Dark Knight came out, I was in line for hours, right? I think of some of the other things that I've done over the years. The first Star Wars prequel, when it came out, when I was a sophomore in college, I was in line for hours before being disappointed. But you get my point. It was something that was totally reasonable for me to do. I'm 40. I'm a man. I'm 40. Come after me. I don't think there's anything I wait in line for anymore. I don't think there's any sort of pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that's worth it for me to go and stand outside of something that I have to do, whether it's like the DMV or something else like that, right, where I have to be in a line. There's nothing that I would go wait in line for anymore. And I actually kind of found that sad. I found that to be a little bit depressing. Does that make sense? And that's kind of what I thought of here when we're doing this topic, is that there are people that have the same joy, have the same sort of wide-eyed hope, nostalgia, whatever it is, to go and sit there for hours and hours and hours. And that's part of the fun. That's part of what makes, you know, this shared experience, whether it's a concert.
You don't think you'd wait in line to watch Star Wars tomorrow?
I'm not going to have to.
I get that. I'm saying hypothetically, would you? If it was the only way you could see it, and it means so much to you to see that movie and to come in here tomorrow and drop little hints and tell everyone how many times you cried and all those other things,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't go stand in line to do that, if you had to wait for an hour, but you were definitely going to get a ticket, and then they were going to turn everyone else away?
If it's an hour, yeah, I probably would. I probably would.
Okay, so then you would stand in line.
So maybe I would. But it's not. I guess it's not to the same degree or anywhere close to what it was when the midnight screening for Lord of the Rings at the Uptown in, I guess it was 2001 or maybe 2002, I can't remember which, when it came out, I was there just after noon, and I wasn't first either. You know, I'm holding my place with nerd friends that you make in line. We're going to get each other sandwiches. I think I had Greek food at one point because I needed to eat two or three meals there before I went inside. That was the experience. That was a huge part of it, of sort of, again, the shared nerddom. There's no band that would make me want to do that, despite the fact that I like plenty of music. I just would never do it anymore. And part of that made me sad. I don't know what that says about me.
I think it's that you've grown up.
Maybe more curmudgeonly, maybe, you know, less fun. I don't know what it is, but I definitely got a little depressed about that.
A lot of parents, the only thing I can think of standing in line now, it's for stuff for your kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if my wife came up to me today and said, hey, we've got to go take the baby to get pictures with Santa at the mall. Well, there's only one way to do that.
You're going to go sit.
You go and you wait in line. I think a lot of parents relate to that. If you're going to an amusement park with your kids, you're in line at some point.
And so to that effect,
for me, I don't really care about anything that much.
To that effect, that's a big turnoff for me. right? When we're going, let's plan this vacation. Let's plan this activity. You guys are going to spring training. What can we do in conjunction with that? And when the suggestions of going to Disneyland, of going to whatever.
Yeah, but then
place,
you just got to sack up and do it because you're kids.
I understand that. But I always kind of try to steer it to something else because of that. Just because of how pre-annoyed I get about waiting in line about stuff.
Is there anything as an adult you'd want to wait in line for? 800-636-1067.
Inspire me.
What would actually get you in line again at this point of your life? That's the question. Star Wars is out tomorrow. Grant and Danny on the Fin. Star Wars comes out tomorrow, and a lot of people are going to be doing a whole lot of hurrying up to wait.
Star Warsing, right? They're doing it.
You'll be there. No line for you. You've got your tickets. Some people will be in line, though, and the question we're asking you is, as a grown person, what actually gets you out of your house to wait in line? What would, if you knew you had to stand somewhere for like an hour for the payoff of whatever was coming afterwards, what would it be?
Because I think of Nats fans who were at that World Series documentary review. They were in line for, what, 45 minutes?
And we got a tweet about that.
Hours?
A guy said he was outside, and that was in a cold night in the rain. He tweeted us, said that's the last time he did that. That's worthwhile. That's cool. If I knew I could get a ticket, it doesn't work this way. But let's say they released World Series tickets, and I didn't have any tickets yet, and I was at the center field gate at the will call, and I'm like 150 people back, and it's going to be a 55-minute wait. But when I get up there, I know because of the head count that I'm going to get two tickets. I would do that. Another thing I thought of was, you know, restaurants. I am at a point in my life where I'm just not going to wait.
I'm not going to wait.
There's too many restaurants. So when I get to your restaurant and you say it's going to be 45 minutes, if I'm at a place where I can get back in my car and drive or walk, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not staying there and waiting.
What's your limit, by the way, on the number of minutes?
Normally about 30, because I've noticed, you know, a lot of times 20 to 30 is the same.
It goes quicker than you think.
Sometimes it does, but anything longer than 30, maybe if I was like, if it's too difficult, I've got, you know, the stroller and the baby or whatever it is, and they say 35, I'll probably ride it out if I have no option. But if parking is annoying or what have you. But anything longer than a half hour is probably a no.
The rare occasion that it's longer than they said, because usually I'm with you. It's to lessen your expectations and to cushion the blow. I went to Metro 29 Diner, which is awesome, but I made the mistake of going with my two boys. I said, this will be a fun outing. Weather was terrible. This is a while ago.
Breakfast,
out of town.
Dinner.
Breakfast, right?
Love that.
On a weekend. Good luck, right? Getting in there. So I've got, it's already chaos by the as we're walking in. And she was like, I probably have 15 minutes. And I was like, that's doable, which is like an hour and 30 minutes in little kid time.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's no chance. And so we were like 22 minutes in. They called my name. We were in the bathroom with my oldest. I mean, it was just a petting zoo. That was a huge mistake by me.
Let's go to Joe in Manassas. What would get you to wait in line?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show as always. To be honest, I hate standing in line. So this is the only time, and it's a straight degenerate answer. It's at Charlestown, man, when I'm making a sports bet.
Good one.
That's a long line, by the way.
I get that.
I've done that. That's a Thami weekend tradition.
I've probably seen that guy in the same line every Saturday.
You are generally near him,
How
right?
was your week? Good. How was yours? Good.
So I've only been there and done, I think, maybe two or three times max done that. But every time the line has been at least, I would say, half hour to 40 minutes long. And it's worth it. You get up there while you're waiting in line. You make your bets. You get your tickets. I normally do it for the Super Bowl year in and year out. I'll do it again this year. But that's a line you got to want. You know when you're going there on the weekend, there's no chance you're getting to that window within a half hour of getting there.
You have to give yourself a pep talk. You have to let yourself know what you're getting into, where you're going to be. But at the end of it, you're going to have a good day.
I love that.
The payoff is many hours of intrigue on the back end. What's the longest you've waited in line there? Any guess?
The first week, and this was the only time that it was this long, but like the first week that of college football after it became legal in West Virginia, I went up there with a guy named Jason Bishop from the Sports Junkies and a couple other people, and we stood in line for about an hour and a half. But it was the first week of college football on the first year it was open.
I can't believe Bishbucks did that.
he wanted to get a taste. He wanted to be in it.
I'm sure he does, but everything he does is a little bit of a hook job. Like he probably doesn't do well with lines.
He had to wait in line with the unwashed
masses. Was probably walking up and just asking, could I butt in line?
It was me and a couple other people holding all of our spots, and then he would come and periodically check up with us.
That makes more sense. He was at the bar. He was hanging out. Let's go to Cheese in Silver Spring.
Hey, Cheese.
What gets you to wait in line?
Well, gentlemen, you mentioned food. So for me, it would only be if I were at a destination. So outside of the metropolitan D.C. area, if I'm on vacation or whatever, or if I was on a baseball trip and I'm going to X restaurant because of whatever they serve, like I will wait in line for that. Like I won't wait in line out here. Like you said, GP, I'll wait in line at Pops because they have the best ice cream in the world. But I'm not waiting in line in D.C., Virginia, which is doing great, or Maryland. But I will wait in line if I am outside of this region, if you will.
So, and that's because it's an appointment.
Where else are you going to go, yeah.
Well, but not only that, he's probably picked that spot for a reason. I'm in Chicago. I'm going to eat at blank. And so you're not just going to navigate away from that. Now, I'll say I am so much about convenience. I've eaten at a chain restaurant in Chicago, and I didn't feel bad about it. I don't try to do that often,
right.
But I went to a couple places. They said an hour, 90 minutes. I said, I'm not playing this game.
Right. I mean, I could just never
There's
do that.
There's a Chili's somewhere, and I'll find that.
And I get that, whatever's comfortable. I
mean, just mentioned Pops, which is the ice cream place in Old Town. You familiar with it?
Yeah, I've heard of. Never been.
Really, really excellent ice cream. Legendary. Everyone talks about it. Everyone loves it. Wouldn't wait in line there. Here's why. There's an ice cream place directly across the street. I don't know the name of that place. But if that place is open and there's no line there, I will leave Pops, which everyone talks about and is ranked on a bunch of lists as where you got to get your ice cream from. I would walk out of there, and I would go across the street.
To the other ice cream place.
I'll go to Pops if there's a five-minute line, if there's five people in line. But he's talking about waiting out the door. No
so we did
chance
that.
I'm
Remember
doing that.
We were eating in New York, and I tried to bring it to Hill Country. And the line in Hill Country, they were like, yeah, you got to wait an hour. I was like, well, we'll just go across the street to this JV place.
Yeah.
Remember that? Which
yeah,
is nowhere near as good.
People got to eat. Let's go to Tom in Fairfax. What would you wait in line for as a grown adult?
Well, yesterday I did this. I stood in line to see the World Series trophy and meet Ryan Zimmerman.
Oh, that's cool. Where was that at?
That was at Joint Base Andrews in one of the hangars.
That's really neat. How long did you wait?
Well, I didn't have to wait that long. I probably had to wait about 20 minutes. And then after he... took pictures with folks with the trophy, then he signed some autographs. So after I got the picture, then I got an autograph line. And then since he was signing autographs, I got him to autograph a ball from game 4 of the NLDS where he hit a home run in. So my kid got a ball at the game. And so that was cool to get that autograph for my son on a
that
ball that he
Whoa,
actually bought
time
at that
out.
Game.
Are you saying you have the ball on the home run off of Pedro Baez that he hit to center field?
No.
A ball.
No, this is just a foul ball.
Okay.
That we got in the first inning of that game.
It's still cool.
And that's it.
Yeah, I've never gotten
it's
a foul
still
ball
cool
in a game.
That, you know,
that's pretty sick. Good for you. He hit a bomb in that game.
Off Pedro Baez, he was 0 for a million off of with 999,999 strikeouts.
That home run was the highest hit home run a ball off the ground by a national all season. It was out of the strike zone up, and he tomahawked it to center field. Let's go to Jim in Leesburg. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, what I would stand for line for, and it's not really a line, but the championship parade that went down for the Caps and the Nats, and if the Redskins ever get to a point where they can get to a championship, I'd probably wait in line for those guys, wait with the unwashed masses, as he put it, and hang around for two and a half hours until the parade started.
That's a good one. I mean,
people do
that. Like,
I would do that.
We have been lucky. Well, I guess we were particularly lucky the second time. The first time, it was cool because we got to be on air. We were in a sports bar, didn't see a second of the parade. You know, could have been broadcasting in another state, honestly, in terms of what we experienced for the Caps parade. But it was a really cool way to do a radio show with people calling in all day long with the technology we had from floats and everything. It was awesome. Recently, though, because we got to be on the bus, it was one of the greatest experiences ever.
Ever.
But I know my parents, my family, for each of those parades, they got there hours and hours and hours before. And if you went down to the parade and you wanted to have a decent view or be in an area where you could experience that on an A or B level, you had to want it. You make a day of it, like you're going to Times Square for
right.
New Year's Eve or something.
That's a great one. Because
bring a chair.
You know what? I would do that.
I would too, 100%. That's a great answer. Bill in Maryland, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Granddaddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, the only thing that gets me out to stand in lines anymore is alcohol. Beer releases at breweries, and I'll do it every weekend to get those good pastry stouts and holiday beers. It's the only thing.
So I am so out of the let's taste a beer and hear, feel all the different things that you can feel. I don't know how any of that works or how people know what they're tasting, so good on you. But I guess my question, Bill, is this. Is this like a weekly event where a brewery will say, this weekend we've got this beer you have never tried, and you have like a list somewhere where you go, okay, this weekend we can go to this place in Charlottesville or this place in Richmond or whatever?
Typically on their Instagrams, on their Twitter accounts, social media, they'll release, you know, they'll tell you a few days ahead, hey, we've got, you know, whatever it is. Right now the holiday stouts are really popular, gingerbread stouts, you know, chocolate-flavored stuff are real big. So, yeah, but it's all through their social media. Yeah.
Beer drinker's beer drinker right there.
Good man.
Good for you.
That's something you couldn't pay me enough to wait in line for that. But that's his passion. I like that about
him. If you're fired up about it, go see it.
Do your thing. There's a time when I would have done that for movies. I probably still would. If I could, I would just get in trouble for it, you know, but I would still be all about
that's
it.
That's another part of it, too, is that I feel like, okay, I'm leaving the house. What for? A really worthwhile reason to pick up supplies and goods for a child? No, it's a frivolous exercise. I'm going to sit out in
the
chair.
There's a film I want to see.
For hours, I'll be gone.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan. Saturday NFL football begins again this weekend. One of my favorite times of the year. Mike Garafolo of NFL Network is at Odell Beckham Jr.'s press conference today. There's been a lot of speculation that he wants out of Cleveland. He joked in his press conference that he talked to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Toronto Argonauts, a couple of Canadian Football League teams, about playing for them. And then he said, quote, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here with the Browns. We'll figure this thing out. I'm not sure if he will or he won't. But I am officially good on the wall-to-wall Odell Beckham Jr. coverage to see where he'll end up. You know, it was constant. He needed a new contract to be happy with the Giants. Then he got his new contract. He still wasn't happy with the Giants. Spoiler alert. Then they traded him, and he got, you know, wanted to handpick his next team, and I'll go somewhere, and I'll be happy, and I'll show you. And now he's gone to Cleveland. He's had his worst year ever, and he hasn't showed anybody. But now he's mad there, and he wants to be somewhere else. You get one of those for me. I'll suffer through one of those where everyone pretends like it's their fault and they're the bad guy and you're the victim. You don't get two.
Yeah, but now it's happening again. And what's the common theme there? Well, it's you, sir, Mr. Beckham Jr. I'm with you. You could excuse one, but a second one, is just now you're a rotten apple. You know what I mean? Now you're the guy that's causing it, ultimately, at the end of the day. Now, I'm sure it's not a great situation in New York. You got a pretty good case in point for that, right? Like a coach that's about to get fired, a GM that nobody really seems to like very much.
No, but you know how many wide receivers, good wide receivers, are playing for coaches that are about to get fired? You know, in organizations where GMs may or may not be around?
No, sure.
All of them. They don't have the problems he had. And then they paid him everything. They gave him, they gathered up every penny and every dollar from every bank account, and they put it all in a bag, and they walked it over to him and said, please, just deal with us.
Try for us, please.
And he was still a huge pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to Cleveland, and everything's going to be better because it's a fresh start, and I'm playing with my best pal Jarvis Landry, and I got Baker Mayfield, a quarterback I like. I didn't like the last guy, and now I got a head coach who calls plays that I like. And next thing you know, he has no production or down production, and that's not his fault. I'm not knocking him. I think he's one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL probably. But
it's not what they signed up
for. I'm just not doing this again.
Yeah.
Like he has gotten enough time from me as like the prima donna diva. Let's just track his every move. He so desperately wants to like kick it NBA style, where this is just players dictating every step. I can't stand that about the NBA. I don't want the NFL to go there. Enough of it already. But I'm not playing the Odell Beckham Jr. game again this offseason.
It's hard to
let
believe.
Me know where he ends up.
Yeah.
Or don't.
67 Fine. Catches, 910 yards, and only two touchdowns.
You were worth all that coverage a couple years ago. You ain't worth it right now.
Yeah.
You're coming off a year where you are Jabbar Gaffney with the Redskins under Kyle Shanahan in 2011.
And it's 121 targets, too. That's the thing, is they're trying to force feed him the ball, trying to figure out how to get it done, and it's just not happening.
Any Pro Bowl snubs you thought maybe deserving that didn't make it? A lot of people's list, they thought Kirk Cousins of the Vikings was deserving with 115 rating this year. Tyrann Mathieu, the safety with the Kansas City Chiefs out of the AFC. Or Earl Thomas's inclusion with the Ravens opened the door for the debate. I mean, they had 12 Pro Bowlers, by the way. Did you see that? The Ravens had a record number of Pro Bowlers.
That's pretty crazy.
I was really hoping Josh Jacobs of the Raiders was going to make it as a rookie. I think he was deserving.
So was Darren Waller, but again, it's the AFC tight end. You got Travis Kelce? You're going to sit him down?
No, but I can actually find guys. Like, I'm finding you now at safety. Earl Thomas did not have as good a year as Tyrann Mathieu. I hate to pick on the Ravens here, who had a dozen, but they still got a bunch. Mm-hmm. Mark Ingram should not have gone over Josh Jacobs, in my opinion. Jacobs outrushed Ingram by 187 yards and has played in one fewer game.
And didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher quarterback to help with some
right,
of those
exactly.
holes. Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, I thought that was a snub. I would have liked to have seen Kenny Golladay go from the Detroit Lions. Average target separation of 2 yards is the lowest in the NFL among receivers with at least 50 catches. What does that mean? Well, he makes a lot of contested grabs.
That's the quintessential big receiver making plays in traffic.
Right. And the only other one that stands out to me a little bit, have you paid attention at all to the season Josh Allen's having? Not the quarterback for the Bills.
Both. I've watched, yes. But
the pass rusher for the Jaguars.
Pretty good year, man.
That guy is excellent.
That's a bright spot in Jacksonville. Not many.
Rookie has 10 sacks. He'll end up with around a dozen. That's hard to do, man. 12 sacks in your first year, we're pumped because looks like Montez Sweat's finally coming on and he's starting to stockpile a couple of sacks here. But you look at what Josh Allen's doing. I thought he was definitely going to the Pro Bowl. In the end, Joey Bosa got it over him. PFF's metrics, if you look into those, you know, had a nice comparison between the two. Allen ranks 47th, 67.7 grade, received a slight boost in pass rushing. Up to 42nd. So they're saying he wasn't deserving, but my eyeballs told me he was.
Chris Carson in Seattle, the guy that's
he's
top,
great.
Top of the league. And I think he's one of the top five rushers in the league. But it's in the NFC. So again, it just depends. Sometimes it's a raw deal. You're not getting there ahead of Christian McCaffrey. You're not getting there ahead of Zeke Elliott, even though his year hasn't been unbelievable. Still has enough counting stats to beat out Carson. And I think, is Aaron Jones the other guy? Or I'm forgetting who the third running back is. But there was enough depth there where you go, I could see it, but it's just a shame that you can't take everybody.
So it's Wednesday. That means we're 3 days away from the start of the NFL again. You're saying, what do you mean?
More Thursday.
How about Saturday football, baby? We got 3 games this weekend. I love Saturday NFL rock. College football keeps us company throughout the fall, but as soon as it goes away, just reminds me that if not for worrying about college football, we could have Saturday and Sunday NFL games year-round. So you get these 3 games on Saturday. Start you off at 1 o'clock. It's a triple header a la Thanksgiving, 1, 4:30, and 8:15. First game is actually compelling, believe it or not. Texans-Bucks. Tampa Bay has gotten 450 yards from Jameis Winston in back-to-back weeks, first quarterback to ever do that. 9-5 Houston at 7-7 Tampa Bay. That might actually be a good game.
It's got some promise to it. I mean, you are getting the lowest level bowl games kind of getting started here, but the ones that nobody cares about. So the NFL's like, yeah, that's fine. We'll schedule some games.
Yeah,
here.
But this is what they do all the time.
Yeah.
It's bowl games that unless you have a kid playing for it or you put money on this game.
Or you coach on the staff.
Nobody cares at
right.
all.
They don't care
and
at all.
And so the NFL's going to get killer ratings and those other games are on random channels with like the announcers that are getting their chops.
Exactly.
You know, and their reps.
You'll be on TV, technically. It's those.
But Saturday at 4:30, the Bills and the Patriots. This is your marquee matchup of the day. If Buffalo can win, they'll be even with New England at 11-4 going into Week 17.
So I need to look at some of the tiebreakers there, but I'm hoping, because Buffalo's got a winnable game Week 17. Patriots have the Dolphins. So I'm hoping that Buffalo could eke them out. That'd be a lot of fun to make
can you imagine?
Brady go on the road in the postseason. But it feels like it's inevitable that'll never happen.
If the Patriots, this group, this offense, has to go on the road throughout the playoffs, they will not make the Super Bowl. I feel like it's an easy thing to say at this point. I already have my questions when they have to go to Baltimore if they play them in the AFC Championship game. Of course, the Ravens would have to get a win to get there. But they got to go on the road, and if they're not a division winner, if they don't get a bye, they could be in a little bit of trouble.
The night game Rams fighting for their lives. They're pretty much done, but you know, with a little help, they could maybe sneak back in.
I love those Rams. and 49ers games, though.
But, yeah, the 49ers need to prove something. They had a – they maybe looked past Atlanta, honestly, with New Orleans and then the Rams in sandwich weeks. Maybe they overlooked Atlanta. They need to get back to being San Francisco really good. Otherwise, they could finish 500 down the stretch.
I'm always down for a McVay versus Shanahan.
Give me that.
Matchup.
A McShanahan
that'll
matchup.
Be on prime time. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hit the leftovers next. We're with you until 2 each and every day right here on your flagship home for the Nats and the Cats. Leo for our podcast. Of course, you can also use the radio.com 24-hour DVR-like rewind. Download the app, select our station, rewind up to 24 hours on the show, and you can just toggle back and forth for any of the segments you may have missed. By the way, yesterday's show was a blast.
A lot of fun.
It was great. You should be listening to it. Today, at some point, if you missed it, we spent 4 hours. 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because we had the Steven Strasburg press conference and an interview with Strasburg in the 11 o'clock hour. But basically about 3 hours and change celebrating 10 years of Bruce Allen.
Just going through all the different things. The ups. I'm kidding. There were no ups. A lot of downs. A lot of the missteps. The foibles. The most embarrassing moments. The worst moments. The indefensible moments, the ongoing strife and catastrophes that he hasn't stopped, by the way. Just Trent Williams is still not playing for them. Should be talking about that every day. Just was a lot of fun. It was really good to go back through and play some of the games we played. A lot of fun party games. You know what got a big pop? And I thought it was intriguing, but I didn't realize how much fun it was going to be. Your anniversary party game.
I was surprised how well that went
where
over.
You sit down. If you haven't gotten that many years in.
Yeah.
And that was really fun.
I think the music Thom played was very much...
Foreigner in the background.
Helpful as well. Shout out, by the way, to Brendan and Thom.
They worked hard on that.
Great job yesterday, who helped put together a hell of a show and mix it up a little bit. It was a lot of fun. It was very good. So thank you guys for listening, who did listen yesterday. And if you didn't, make sure you grab the podcast, including an interview you had with Bruce Allen.
Yes,
yesterday.
Larry Michaels conducted the interview with Bruce Allen on the state-controlled radio network, which was great. Very informative stuff there.
Anything you would tell people to listen for specifically?
Let me see. There's a particular line that Larry Michaels has towards the end, which made me chuckle a little bit because I'm a silly little idiot.
I keep getting pictures sent to me by people worried about the Phillies. They had a big press conference where they introduced Didi Gregorius and Zach Wheeler.
Why are people worried about the Phillies?
Didi Gregorius is good. Zach Wheeler is pretty good.
Oh, I misunderstood what you meant by worried. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
What? What's happening?
I thought you'd be like, people are concerned. The Phillies won't be any good. They're very upset about that. And I'm like, why are people tweeting
people
you about
are,
that?
People are worried that they will be good.
Yeah, which is why I said I
misunderstood. Their lineup's great. McCutchen, Realmuto, Harper, Hoskins, Gregorius, Segura, Kingery, Hazley, and a pitcher. They still don't have a rotation that scares me. I thought they might go get Garrett Cole or something like that. Somehow they brought in Steven Strasburg. Those types of moves. But I got to be honest with you. Until they add a bunch of pitching, I think they're good. They're competitive. But they haven't moved past the Nationals, in my opinion, in terms of concern level right now. But the Nats have to go get a third baseman, and they got to try to do everything they can to make sure it's Josh Donaldson.
So if it's not Donaldson, it's got to be something creative, and you've got to add a impact bat somewhere in this lineup. You got to get creative. Could you do it at second base? I don't think so, but maybe you find someone with a bounce back candidate like a Jonathan Scope or something like that, or you go get a Marcell Ozuna or Nick Castellanos, a guy that was just on fire when he moved to the Cubs in the second half of last season. Somebody's got to help you to protect Juan Soto. That's what the offense needs.
What do you got going tonight? There's not much sports on the docket. You don't have any football. You got no Caps. What are you going
to
do?
I'm trying to determine that, actually. We were supposed to have a birthday party, just sort of low-key at our local pizza joint, but the young lady in question got violently ill last night from school, so they canceled the birthday party. So all the shenanigans, the shuffling we were doing is
so
canceled.
So maybe you'll get to watch Rui host the Bulls tonight at 7?
No, Rui out for a handful of games because he got a groin contusion.
Maybe you won't get to watch Rui host the Bulls tonight?
He was contused in the groin, my friend.
7 p.m. tip for the Wizards in Chicago. That's about all you got.
Davis Bertans, did you know that? I didn't know this. He was
missing. By the way, he is so great.
You know he's missing part of his shooting hand?
What do you mean part of his hand?
Like he has, you see how I have 5 fingers that are full? Imagine this part, see what I'm pointing to on my this
he's
finger?
He's missing parts of his fingers.
Yeah.
Not so his hand.
What'd I say, hand?
Well, do you mean palm of the hand? Yeah, you said he's missing part of his hand.
I mean his finger. I said hand and mid finger. I'm struggling this last segment to talk. I don't know what
hold
the
on,
hell is going
on. Hold on. Let me. I want to restart my question.
Yeah.
Davis Bertans.
Yes.
Who hits every shot he's ever taken.
He is buckets.
Who is amazing. I had no idea how good this guy was.
Yeah.
He's incredible to watch and should be traded for a first-round pick.
Yeah.
That Davis Bertans.
Yeah.
He's missing his fingers?
Missing part of his ring finger on his right hand.
How much of it? Down to the first knuckle?
No, it's further? It's about that. No, it's about here. This so is, what is that? What percentage is that? That's a
that's like
20%.
A third of the finger almost?
Saw accident. So my buddy, who was a really good pitcher in college and then beyond.
Jim Abbott.
Named Pat Pinkman. Had the almost the exact same thing happen to him. And it looked the same. It looked just like his finger.
A, I didn't know that.
I found that out yesterday.
B, I'm not trying to do a bit. I feel like that would affect like the rotation of the ball.
Doesn't
the ball come off your fingertips and kind of get released?
So it depends on who you ask about shooting. Like guys with like super long fingers and or strength and dexterity in their fingers, it's either comes off the middle finger as your primary or the pointer finger as your primary, right? Because it's just the easiest as it points it comes
I'm
over.
Looking at a picture.
You see it?
Yeah, he does not have a right ring finger. I mean, he's got some of it.
What percentage do you think it is?
Like 55-60%?
See, I said 70-75. You think I'm wrong? Here, let me look. What picture are you looking
at? This is out of control. This is the photo. 75 is a little aggressive for me. Here's
why.
Yeah,
it might be less, dude.
75
it might be less.
For me or you, he's got super long fingers.
Right. That's
his
a
middle
50.
Finger goes like almost across the basketball.
So you think it's pretty similar to his pointer finger. So draw the line there. Yeah, it's 50. It's closer to 50.
That's amazing.
I found that out yesterday.
How about you, Davis? I love that guy.
Imagine if he had full five fingers, he would shoot 65%.
I told you the story about him. I'll make this really quick. So my brother meets him. He hits me up, and he's like, hey, I just met one of the Wizards. He was so awesome. I'm like, who was it? He's like a tall white dude. I'm like, oh, you met
Mo Wagner.
He's like, no, it's another guy. And I'm like, they don't have another one. He's like, no, trust me. It's like they're in training camp. I'm like Googling their roster and I'm like, it's got to be Davis Bertans. I was like,
but at the time you're like Davis Bertans,
right? I was like, is like foreign white or like white white? He's like, he's like, it sounded like he had an accent, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's probably Davis Bertans. Is he good? I was like, no, he's not any good. I just had no idea. I was like, dude, just some guy they got from the Spurs for a ham sandwich.
I don't think anybody knew it was gonna be like this.
I love watching him.
He's a lot of fun.
My favorite Wizard, maybe ever.
Ever.
No, that's exactly.
Stop it.
Gilbert says that.
Stop.
Brant and Danny on the Fan. Chad Dukes versus the world is next. I want to
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.